Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we will be discussing the readings for the Feast of the Epiphany of the Lord, 2010.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about. They all gather and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you, dromedaries from Midian and Ephah. All from Sheba shall come bearing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice and your afflicted ones with judgment. Justice shall flower in his days, and profound peace till the moon be no more. May he rule from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall offer gifts, and the kings of Arabia and Seba shall bring tribute. All kings shall pay him homage, all nations shall serve him. For he shall rescue the poor when he cries out, and the afflicted when he has no one to help him. He shall have pity for the lowly and the poor, and the lives of the poor he shall save.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation. It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising, and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly, and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today, you have with you Dawn here in Canandaigua and Father Mark. It's been a while, Father Mark.
Yes, it has, Dawn. Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas. And Father Brian today, well, as we record this, is in Florida, where it's nice and warm, instead of here in upstate New York, where it's frigid.
And snowy.
I know, quite a difference. You know, I was just thinking, usually, Father Mark, it's you that calls me when you're in Florida and I'm freezing, so I guess this is a little turn of events.
It is, you're right. Well, I hope Father Brian is enjoying his time with his family in Florida. So,
well deserved, of course.
Absolutely, yeah.
So today we're celebrating Epiphany. Very exciting. It seems like we were just in Thanksgiving, and all of a sudden we've experienced Advent and Christmas and Holy Family and the New Year.
Oh, absolutely! It's amazing, you know,
wow,
how quickly the time has just flown.
It's actually a little scary. Oh, boy.
It is. At Epiphany.
So, as you read through the readings today, did anything strike you or did you find anything interesting?
Well, you know, it's interesting how the Magi, as we read about them, you know, followed a star to the Christ child. You know, that we read about their whole journey, you know, from the east and arriving in Jerusalem and going to Bethlehem. And here it is, you know, kind of just very small amounts of information that they have to go on. They're just these wonderful examples of, you know, people of faith, even though they're outside the community. These would be people they would consider Gentiles, you know, those who are non-Jews. And yet they are following the sign of a star, you know, and a message that they had received. And here they are kind of doing something that you and I might think, oh, that's kind of crazy, you know. I sometimes think that we live in a world that really wants certainty and clear answers and direction, you know, and I can certainly see a place for that. And I think that, you know, it's important sometimes that we have clarity and answers so that we can kind of move in the right direction. But maybe when it comes to our life of faith and God, it needs to be a bit, maybe we need to be more like the Magi who are following the star, where there isn't so much, you know, we do have to sometimes be, you know, people in darkness who can appreciate the light when it comes to us, as it did to the Magi, you know, the light of the star, and certainly the light of the Christ child. So can allow ourselves to be people who sometimes have to travel in, you know, I'll say darkness, but believe who leads us through that darkness into light, and maybe not always knowing where we're going in or what the answer, but that we have to be people who are, and you know, all of us could certainly use a good dose of patience as we try to travel this journey of faith with God.
You know, one of the reflection questions I read when I was preparing for this was said something like, what is an example of a time when I've been like the Magi and had this driving desire and to find Christ or find light of God or something like that? And I started to think of, well, I've never been like the Magi, like leaving my home and everything like that. But the more I thought about it, there are times in all of our lives that there was just something propelling you that you had to search for this answer. And sometimes it comes out of just a want for knowledge. Sometimes it's out of tragic circumstances that you just need to search for, you know, what is the meaning? Why am I here? Where am I coming from? And things like that. And so it was an interesting reflection as I went through different times in my life. And it's probably a good thing for all of our many, many listeners to examine what have been those times. Because I would bet everybody's had, probably not to the extent of the Magi, but there we all search in different ways, and I bet you've had some of those times.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think of all of us having the experience of kind of being in the dark. I mean, when a couple gets married and they start in their new life together as husband and wife, as a married couple, I would think there's a lot of uncertainty there. Yeah, you may know each other, but to think that life is going to unfold before you and your relationship is going to grow, very organic, it's going to grow, it's going to hopefully deepen through time and over the years. But there's no way that you can know, you know, at a head knowledge of what's going to happen. Same with having a child. You know, you may plan on having children. You just never know what that child's life is going to bring into your life, you know. And to really say that you can have all the answers or, you know, definitively know what's going to happen, I think is kind of deceptive. You know, it really isn't who we are. And I don't think God wants us to be that. I think God wants us to be faithful to the journey, to always seeking out the light, especially in the times when there is, you know, in our lives, to believe in a God who, you know, over 2,000 years ago came to us as a child and brought light to our world, you know, as it says in the first reading, you know, rise up, Jerusalem, you're lighted, you know, and to think that that's not something that has just taken place, you know, one moment in time, but that can, you know, take place in any moment in our life, especially when we need it. You know, I've heard this saying that says, stars shine their brightest at the darkest moment in the night. And which is probably true, you know, that when we most need that light, it's probably when it's maybe darkest in our lives. And how we trust and believe in a God who is going to give us that light, especially when we
need it. Very, very true. I like that. I think I just might have to write that and put it on my board for a while.
Oh, there you go.
You know, just as a side note, coming out of our tradition, each of the three gifts that the Magi brought have sort of a traditional meaning. And so I just thought it might be interesting to go through them. So we know the three gifts were gold, I can't even talk today, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so the gold symbolizes the kingship on earth, the kingship of Jesus on earth. The frankincense, which is part of the word in incense, it symbolized the priestship. That doesn't came out right, priestship. And the myrrh, which is an oil used in embalming, symbolized as a symbol of death.
Right.
And so that's just an interesting thing to think about. You know, you sort of put yourself in the story. If you placed yourself as Mary and these people come in bringing these gifts, I can't imagine what it must have been like.
I know, really. And to think that, you know, we always have to, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we need to make sure that we always, Christmas and Easter always go together, birth and death, you know, mm-hmm. So like you're saying, the myrrh is the kind of the anointing, you know, of preparing him for death, you know, going to be part of his new life, so.
And I was just quickly looking because another part of our tradition as Catholics is the proclamation of the dates of Easter on Epiphany. There's this big, long proclamation that is sometimes chanted. We don't see it so much around here, but I was just looking it up in one of the books I have. And it's tradition that either after the Gospel or after the prayer after Communion, that a deacon or a cantor or someone chants out the dates for the upcoming Feast of Easter and the Triduum,
right.
But then it also does Lent, and as I read through it earlier, I love the connection, how rich a tradition we have, and I sometimes forget about it. I just get into the habit of, okay, this is next, that's next, but to think about how this has been celebrated for centuries, and the same things we do today was done so long ago, and it's in a different language, maybe a slightly different style, but yet we are that connected to our, to the
it is, and to think that it's always about the whole cycle of Christ, which is birth, death, resurrection. You know, that's always who we are, and that we have to remember that. So Christmas always comes Easter, you know, and so that kind of prediction of the oil that's being given to him, that he will be someone that will come in our world and will die, but will also rise.
Very true. And so with that final thought, I think we'll end our podcast for today. We wish all of you a happy Epiphany, and if you choose to bless your homes or sing the proclamation, we hope whatever it is, you have a wonderful day, and that you would join us again next week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week, and God bless.